Follow a good example, a faithful leader, love in the light. Shalom, peace. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to imitate good. We thank you that we can experience you and get to know you. Please help us to seek the truth and remain faithful to the truth, faithful to you. And we thank you for your peace that passes understanding. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 3 John 1, 11-15, Amplified Classic. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen, discerned, or experienced God, has enjoyed no vision of him, and does not know him at all. Demetrius has warm commendation from everyone, and from the truth itself. We add our testimony also, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to say to you when I began to write, but I prefer not to put it down with pen, that's a reed, and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk together face to face. Peace be to you. Goodbye. The friends here send you greetings. Remember me to the friends there, to every one of them personally, by name. This third letter of John was written to someone called Gaius. Now Gaius means joyful or happy. You'll see him in Acts 19, verse 29, when he was grabbed by the mob while traveling with Paul. And again in Romans 16, verse 23, when he hosted Paul and the church. Also in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14, when he was baptized by Paul himself. Now we don't know if these references to Gaius are different people, also named Gaius, or it might be the same man. There's no way to ascertain that from Scripture, and we might just find out when we see Jesus face to face. Remember, there were different people called Simon, like Simon Peter, Simon the Zealot, and Simon the Tanner. And there was Judas Iscariot and Judas not Iscariot. So people having the same first name does not necessarily mean they're the same person, but they might be. Interesting things about Gaius. In verse 3 we see he's faithful to the truth of Christ. Verse 4, he's one of John's disciples. He's referred to as one of his children. Verse 5, he helped traveling strangers who were brothers in Christ. Verse 9, he dealt with opposition from a false or misguided leader. Another believer mentioned is Demetrius. It means belonging to a Greek goddess. He's referred to in Acts 19, verse 24-41, when he opposed Paul and stirred up a mob. And also here in this, the third letter of John, 3 John 1, verse 12, where he is a faithful leader walking in truth. Again, we don't know if it's different people named Demetrius or if it's the same man. With Demetrius, if it is the same man, then he changed radically, just like Saul of Tarsus, who became known as Paul the Apostle, from opposition to a faithful leader. Now, when speaking of the Demetrius that is the faithful leader, his name did not define his character. And you are not defined by your name or your history. You are defined by your choice to believe in and follow the King of Kings. That's just a bit of background about the names. In verse 11 of our scripture for today, we are encouraged to follow a good example, or as this version says, imitate good. Jesus speaks of a good example for us to follow in the story of the Good Samaritan. The whole story is found in Luke 10, verse 30-37. I'll just read verses 36-37 in KJV. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So there we are encouraged to follow the good example set by the character in Jesus' story, or parable, as it was called in those days. Now Jesus is the best and biggest example that we can follow. The little bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? Was a fashion statement some while ago. I haven't seen many of them around, but it is a question we need to ask on an ongoing basis. How would Jesus respond in the situation? And how do I respond in a way that shows the love of Jesus? There are times when following the example of a fellow Christian might be easier, as stated in Philippians 3 verse 17, TPT. My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life we modeled before you. The Amplified of Philippians 3 verse 17 says, Brothers and sisters, together follow my example and observe those who live by the pattern we gave you. So while you do need to exercise caution in following or copying other people, don't copy their bad habits, only their good habits, because no human is perfect apart from Jesus Christ himself. But yeah, if you do find it easier, there are some born-again believers who are walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And those people you can copy to a certain extent as good examples. Who do we copy or who do we want to be? It's stated in 1 John 3 verse 6, Amplified. No one who abides in him, who remains united in fellowship with him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. No one who habitually sins has seen him or known him. Now, nobody is perfect, so we do sin occasionally, but to make a lifestyle out of sin is not feasible for a born-again believer who is in relationship with a beautiful, loving, holy Father God. There's more encouragement in 1 John 2 verse 9 to 11, TPT. Anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his heart toward a fellow believer, is still in the darkness. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. But whoever hates a fellow believer lives in the darkness, stumbling around in the dark with no clue where he is going, for he is blinded by the darkness. We see it again in 1 John 4, verse 20 to 21, TPT. Anyone can say, I love God, yet have hatred toward another believer. This makes him a phony, because if you don't love a brother or sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God, whom you can't see? For he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others. So we can see that living in love means living in the light, and living without love is living in the darkness. And we all know that living in the light is a good, good thing. Now this third letter of John is one of the shorter books in the Bible. It might have been a bit longer if John had written about everything that he wanted to discuss with them. But he says in verse 13 that he'd rather not include them in this letter. He'd rather speak to them face to face. Or the translation could also say mouth to mouth. So my mouth speaks the words and you hear it. Your mouth speaks words and I hear it. So speaking mouth to mouth is what we normally do when we talk to somebody face to face. We want to have an intimate relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, our loving Redeemer, and our loving Holy Spirit. Listening to God and speaking to God are part of building that relationship with him. And one man who built a very strong and intimate relationship with God is Moses. And we see that in Numbers 12, verse 8a, LSV. I speak with him mouth to mouth, even by an appearance and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of Yahweh attentively. This is God speaking about Moses. And we all know that no one can actually see God face to face and live, but Moses came pretty close to that in Exodus 33, verse 22, NKJV. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And Moses came pretty close to seeing God, but God knew that he needed protection, because his glory is too much for us to handle. Our senses just can't cope with it in this body. In our new glorified bodies, we will be able to cope with it because we will be in his presence directly without any atmosphere, any sky between. And while he is in our hearts, we don't see him physically face to face. But I would encourage you to read his word and pray to him. Reading his word is when he speaks to you, and praying to him is when you speak to him. And the more you do it, the more it will seem like speaking mouth to mouth, where it comes out of my mouth, or it comes out of your mouth, and goes to God's ears. And when we listen to him, when the Logos word, the written word, becomes Rhema word, or the revelation word, then it's like him speaking to us. and that's when it goes from his mouth to our ears. The letter ends off with peace and greetings, and the word for peace in Hebrew is shalom, and as I understand it, it means nothing broken, nothing missing. If you look online, it also means peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, and welfare. This real peace is not just an absence of conflict. It's a state of completeness and divine favor. It speaks of something that has been made whole or restored. Just like an old racing car might be in need of repair, and if a person wants to drive that car again, then they've got to repair it and maybe even take some scratches out and dents out and repaint it and do all the work that is necessary to restore that car to pristine condition. Now you and I have been damaged by sin, by the fall, and God restores us and brings us back to being in a pristine condition. And that's why when we are restored, that's when we experience the kind of peace symbolized by the word shalom. And this beautiful, peaceful meaning is commonly used as a greeting or a farewell. In Hebrew, the person would say shalom when you greet somebody, and when you finish having your chit-chat and you part company again, then you say shalom as saying bye. The easiest, most practical way that I think of this shalom concept, or the kind of peace that God gives us, which is beyond understanding, as per Philippians 4, is peace in a storm. If you can picture a seagull in a cleft of a rock, a cleft is like a crack, but a crack can be very narrow, like 1 or 2 millimeters, whereas a cleft is a little bit wider, say a few centimeters or a few inches, and a seagull would be able to fit in a cleft quite easily. In fact, a cleft can be big enough for a man to fit in, as happened with Moses, which I spoke about earlier. And so, when you experience God's peace, it's not because everything is necessarily hunky-dory. It's because you understand that even though you don't know what the future holds, you do know who holds the future. And that one that holds the future is our loving Heavenly Father, our loving Redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and our loving Holy Spirit, who is our Comforter and our very best friend. Now, I usually encourage you to shine your light. Today, I want to encourage you to shine in His divine and beautiful love.